They're going to blame this roster conveniently today and say new 70. Dude, that's on Bill.
Oh, yeah.
You've had plenty of time to get that more organized and not get 41-0 run off on you by TCU last
night.
Well,
I mean, yeah.
In your opener. And have your fans down on you, embarrassed, wanting to walk out of there, not to mention your money, man.
Yeah, I'm willing to do with this situation what I was not willing to do with Arch Manning. I'm willing to say, because this is a 80-year-old man, this is over. This will not be successful. This will be nothing but a disaster. The best case scenario that you're hoping for is just you eke out 5-6 wins a year. But
if Sonny's going to do that to you, what's Dabo's going to do? You're not doing anything in the ACC. Looks like Mike's back up. I mean, what are we talking about here?
Exactly.
If Sonny Dice can come on and make you and run circles around you like
that's exactly right. I mean, honestly,
you're not doing anything in the ACC.
Yeah, I mean SMU, Miami.
Yeah.
You're toast, bro.
Well, and even Sonny's got good coordinators.
You're toast.
Those dudes were running circles around Bill's dudes, and including the kid.
Just saying, they had extra motivation, too.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He's not going to find it any easier in the ACC.
No, he's not.
To that point. It's going to get tougher against some of those coaches.
I mean, the ACC is pretty damn good at the top, man.
Yep.
I mean,
like I said, with SMU now, and you include them with Miami and those
dudes. Yeah.
I mean, because they are. They're a solid program. They're not on the level of Miami's top 10. Miami just knocked off Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Right.
But yes, that makes them more solid up top, that ACC.
But look, you got SMU, you got Miami, Florida State. I mean, honestly,
Clemson's good. Don't get them wrong. I still think Clemson's gonna win the ACC.
You know, a team like Duke, right? I mean, is capable. You know, they brought in you know the kid from Tulane. So I mean, they would be favorites over you right now. I mean, most decent teams in the ACC would be favorites over North Carolina right now. And I think that's a part of it. It's like, that was an unranked TCU team, bro.
It was Clark with the pick six, too.
Was it Clark? Okay. I thought it was a corner. But it was that was a joke of a throw. I mean, it was just child's play. Like, he threw that thing about 2 miles an hour. Slow snap. Snap was kind of like hanging in the air off the center. Like, the whole production was a joke. And they're walking around talking about, we're the 33rd team.
The 33rd NFL team. That's why Lawrence Taylor was there.
I mean, you
wanted to see the 33rd NFL team.
You wouldn't be the ninth UFL team. You wouldn't be the 90th UFL team with what that looked like last night. I mean, it looked like stealing money. It's what it looked like. It looked like, I can't believe these folks pay me $10 million a year to do this. And like, they buy it, and they believe it, and they think, like, Jordan's coming out, but he never makes public appearances like that. You know, I mean, you got Rasheed Wallace out there. You got John Henson out there. You got Tyler Hansbrough out there. You got Brendan Wright out there. You got
we don't care about a couple of those dudes.
No, you got who else? Who else we got out there, man?
I was looking for Vince Carter.
Yeah, man. You got Rashad McCants out there. You got Sam Perkins out there. I mean, how did you get all these people? Reggie Bullock, Armando Bacot was out there.
Yeah, he realized, I mean, this is your debut as a college coach, and you'd never given up 48 as an NFL head coach.
Bro, Antoine Jameson was out there.
My North Carolina people, Parth and some others, tell me you got to lighten up.
So no.
This is enough. You're taking your arch frustration out on UNC and Bill. Mm-mm. You're right. It's a proper flogging.
I mean, yeah, man. It was as
nothing to see here. That would be your message.
ESPN 2, guilty as hell. Like, man, they doubled up on that pregame.
Of course you're gonna do that.
I don't blame them.
No, I don't either. It's great, but you know, at the end of the game, you got a dog announcing the game.
We found out before the game when they're one on one with Bill, ESPN's, that Bill would not be able to go out and make the tackles. He let us know. He said the players are gonna have to do that.
Well, that's what we should have known.
I can't do anything.
Leaky
in terms
Black
of going out
there
and running the ball and making – the players are going to have to do it. So it's good to know, Bill.
Yeah.
It's good to know. Hopefully you'll have them all lined up right.
Man, Hubert Davis looking real good.
Yeah.
Man, that folks like, woo, going to be a big year for us.
Basketball school.
Yeah,
that's what
man.
He's saying today. Chest out.
No, that's a – man, King Rice was out there. But
and no, they got Tanner. Isn't it Tanner? That's their man.
They're saying
bad. Mike, come on back to the basketball side of campus.
Man, for
because ain't
for real.
Nothing to see over there.
That was, like, so bad.
His backup quarterback, though, is going to end up taking the job.
Oh, yeah, Gio Lopez is done. I mean,
that's
thanks
over.
For your service.
Like,
here's $2 million.
We don't care about your $2 million. You just take it, but we're moving on.
Everybody
that
involved.
That was so embarrassing. They have to move on from
complete embezzlement.
The pick six alone was just child's play. that throw.
I mean,
he's like, looked like some Jacoby Brissett.
I mean, even if, I mean, that might be nice. I mean, that, you know.
I mean, he had some bad Pats teams after Brady.
No, he did.
Where he had some bad moments. Did you see his face on the pick six?
Yeah, well, I mean, but nobody told me that the North Carolina football team was starting Peter Parrish. I mean, I would have never actually thought much was going to happen. But I guess we have to watch the game start. And I mean, again, nice first drive. Unbelievable first drive.
The scripted.
I don't know if there's ever been a team that goes on an opening drive score like that and then proceeds to lose the game 48-14. I would be interested to see how many times that happens, you know, throughout the course of college football. But
Bill should have gave Tommy Castellanos that money.
Man, anybody. Brennan Lewis.
No.
$2 million, bro, for that, and you're sitting around and you're going to work today. It's like, dog, y'all don't understand how blessed y'all are right now to have.
They don't have to go to class over there.
To have woken up in this timeline.
He can just stay in the football.
You need to give that money back. And Bill, you need to step down and you need to go away. But the problem is for North Carolina football is that he's not going to. Why would he?
Well, him and Jordan are making too much.
Yeah.
Jordan Hudson.
That's really the problem. It's like, you know, Bill has dignity, he has class. He knows he is completely done. And that he has bitten off more than he can chew, and he surrounded himself with a bunch of jackasses like Freddie Kitchens and Mike Lombardi, and they're walking around calling themselves their 33rd team. This is a clown show. But he's got this girl that needs this money, and he was saying, we're not going anywhere.
The happiest man in the country is Dabo, because he's not the one being talked about today in the ACC.
That is very true. No, like, I mean, you know, he
did. I mean, Brian Kelly came into his house
He did.
And they say, we're the real Death Valley back in Baton Rouge. This ain't nothing. We come in your house.
That's right.
I mean, they did do that to him. But because of Bill Belichick last night, he's got some heat among, you know, his own program. But
right. Outside
that, national headlines, man, they're talking about Bill. They're not talking about Dabo losing that game to Brian Kelly.
That's right. So I got to say, that is one of the most disappointing things I have ever seen in terms of that debut for Bill Belichick at the college level. Also disappointing this weekend is I'm starting to – nobody's confirmed this for me, but I'm starting to get a sinking feeling, Jason, that the great Smart Mart at East Memphis is no longer operating. I don't know if you've been past it. I don't know, Brad, if you've driven by it. It's not closed, but there is a shed on top of it, which is very random. And there's cones that are cordoning off all of the screens. Now, there was an inflection point on Smart Mart, Jason, about 4 to 5 months ago. I don't want to blame the tariffs, but when the supply chain shock began, it really hurt us hard.
Cool.
And as someone who really enjoys the not interacting with humans to get the drinks that I need to get to, you know, do my show and get through my life, I'm gonna. I don't have this confirmed, but maybe I'm the only person that cares, but.
No, you'll have to adjust that. And something else came to an end at Lee Corso's time.
And he went undefeated.
How about that?
Every one of them jokers.
And he picked some dogs, too.
I watched just about the whole thing, too. I wanted to get in my whole fill of it.
Yeah.
Because
we'll never have it again with
the
great Lee Corso.
Yeah. Anyway, so we still have quite a bit more to get to on the show today. If anybody can give me some intel on the Smart Mart, though, it would be much appreciated. Let's keep that thing going. I will come by every day. Okay, as long as I still
work
here.
Work couple shifts?
I might even
pick
do that
up and
I
for
might
your
even do that. What y'all
a
paying
job.
Over there? Okay. Anyway, we'll get to all that. I'll keep you updated on what I hear. But yes, Lee Corso's time is officially up, and he's going out on a high, man. Going out on an absolute high note. Get into that. NFL gets underway in 2 days.
Ooh, boy.
And then we got Brazil on Friday. That Friday night game. We got football Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Oh, my goodness.
That's very exciting.
Crazy. Stick around. Jason and John, how are you trying to film ESPN? I hope you enjoyed your 901 day yesterday, Jason. Happy 901 day to you.
You as well. Hope you celebrated it safely.
Well, you know, I don't leave the cove.
Brother didn't leave the home yesterday. I did that safari park on Sunday. We came back home. Lock it in.
There you go.
Hunker down.
What you got to do these days, man? I don't know how good that is for our economy. I don't know how good that is for our hopes of keeping the Grizzlies, but...
It looked beautiful for a time downtown. For a time.
Yeah, I saw that video that's going around yesterday. Oh, my goodness. I don't know what prefaced it. I don't know what provoked it, but yikes. You ain't going to see me down there. Not with my damn kids. Hell no. To the no, no, no. Hell to the no. Ain't no way. I hate to say it. I hate to say it. But, like, you know, it is what it is. Anyway, happy 902 day. We're going to move. We're going to turn the page, man. Turn the page. Every day around the time we do the rundown, let's go. I want to just start. We talked a lot about football this weekend. I just want to start and go over the news of the day, which is this Arkansas-Memphis scrimmage, I should say. This exhibition as part of the St. Jude, Hoops for St. Jude tip-off classic that they're now doing second year in a row. Tickets go on sale September the 9th, and it will take place on a Monday, October the 27th. Memphis versus Arkansas for the men, Memphis versus Vandy for the women. So there you go. John Calipari looked like he was just having himself a good old time down there in inside FedEx Forum. Him and Penny were just yucking it up, chumming it up like one will do.
Significant.
And you know, Cal said the city of Memphis is a special place, which it is. And he was a big part in helping make it special in his time. There's no doubt about that. He said that the idea of this is just kind of a, an exploratory, a thermometer, if you will, into, what this could be. Now, I don't know where you put your thermometer. Some people choose to probe through the ear.
Come on, bro.
Some people choose to probe through, the mouth, and some people do choose to probe in different ways, But we're going to insert the thermometer, and we're going to see exactly what the temperature is for Memphis basketball and a series with Arkansas. And this is the test. If we can get it down there, we can get that thing popping. 15, 16, 17, 18,000. I think there's going to be a big appetite to get these two teams on each other's schedule. If it goes off kind of like last year's did against North Carolina when they didn't sell a lot of tickets and there wasn't a lot of interest, and it was just like, meh, I think they can probably say, yeah, we'll pass. So, I don't know. It's a Monday, like you said, so not the most ideal time, but everything can't be on a Saturday. Sometimes you gotta make the damn plans, and you got to get down there. But John Calipari, Penny Hardaway. I mean, Arkansas is a very intriguing team this year. I mean, what are they going to be, top 15, top 20-ish? Maybe a little better, bringing in Darius Acuff, bringing back Trayvon Brazil.
Big year for our man, Trey Richmond.
Trey Richmond, DJ Wagner. I mean, they really should be a top 12 type team. And Memphis, as we know, is completely sort of rebuilding. And it'll be a good sort of litmus test, just like, but I will say, like, last year, my memories of the exhibition games between Alabama and North Carolina were that Memphis could not shoot the ball at all. They looked like one of the worst teams shooting ever. And then the season starts, and they look like they're the best.
Remember that.
So, I mean, I don't really know what to think, no matter what happens in these games, like how much of it is real, how much of it is a funhouse mirror. I don't know. But the scene is what you're going to get here, hopefully, right? Like, you're just hoping that enough people come out and show some love or hate to Cal, whatever you need to do.
Well, I mean, let's be real. This is long overdue. We can talk about it just, being a couple of exhibition games. And again, you mentioned the women are going to play Vanderbilt. And that's good, and hopefully for St. Jude. But in this sense, too, and there'll be some that still don't want to be a part of it because it's Cal and still have those bitter feelings toward him. But we needed to do this. We needed to come all full circle. We needed to heal. And in some ways, and maybe I'm looking at it from the sort of old columnist emeritus sort of look here, but we needed to put this to bed, right? And it's the perfect time to do it with Cal now off to Arkansas. We've said it. He's no longer at the gig that he left you for. That's part of this. But also Penny Hardaway. I mean, he's been a big part of this too. And how Penny's had the arms out to Cal saying, look, we want to, we think of that time fondly, and we think of you still fondly. And I think you've seen it from Penny in terms of his, reverence for Cal, whether it's over at the EYBL and the two of them were holding court right at the front in the lobby while every other coach was zooming through there, or having him on the podcast and talking about what Cal did for the program and how much he appreciated it. I think this window right here to sort of, again, I'd use the word heal, not that some will feel, well, no healing took place, needs to take place or whatever else, but in the end, let's be real, you hadn't done anything. You hadn't made a Sweet 16 since he left.
Yep.
And so this always needed to happen. It makes a ton of sense to bring his guys back because you haven't had him with those players here since they left, right? I mean, yeah. Not all together and not with him. and you had that opportunity to do it in season during his aligned with his time going into the Hall of Fame. You declined after initially being involved.
Yep.
That got ugly. It yep. made headlines on ESPN. It's time to heal this thing all ends, and I think this will go a long way in doing that. If it results in a home and home down the line, yeah, that'll be great.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of putting this to bed, any still hurt feelings, you know, Cal being coming back into FedEx form and playing a Tigers team and not, you know, feeling away about it, I think this is a good thing, both for the program, for the city, to move forward. And this is symbolically, it's a way to do that. Now, for St. Jude, you're hoping you pack the place out, not just for Memphis and Arkansas and a home and home. You're hoping you can keep this, you know, this event
yes.
packed and St. Jude feeling like, you know what, we can pull this off every year and we can do it in a regular season. You know, that's and maybe include Memphis. That's
yes.
something that's a you know, even in addition to raising money, obviously for which is number one the priority for research for children. But that's the other part about it is you hope this can turn into a regular season event where you're able to draw teams the likes of Arkansas
Absolutely.
And others against Memphis. So a lot of reasons. My point is to support this, even if it's just to say, you know what, we've come full circle. We appreciate the time Cal was here. And you can this can be the sort of thank you and finality on all of that.
Exactly. I mean,
a lot more than just an exhibition game here, symbolically.
100%. And I think that, you know, most people walking around Memphis today are there, you know. That's like mm-hmm. the overall sentiment is like it's time. We're so far removed from it now. We've seen, you know, how kind of in the wilderness Memphis basketball has been since. That you almost, I mean, you should appreciate even more because there's a real world where that was the best it'll ever be. and so I, you know, I love the fact that he's coming back. He continues to embrace Memphis. He could have just said F Memphis, right? He could have said, I don't want any part of this. It's just not a place I have fond memories of, the end of it, whatever. He could have done that.
I think St. Jude being a part of it too and him understanding
sure.
its
For
importance,
sure.
right? And when they're asking you, it's a different thing than just, oh, those bitter
For
folks
sure.
in Memphis that didn't want me back for a banquet. Then. Remember what I, you know what
yes.
I'm saying? So that, you know, the grander scheme of things here
yes.
is the bigger thing is St. Jude.
No,
it's hard to say no to
no,
that
it is.
Cow.
It is. And there, you know, I think there was a time probably where he still would have, you know, 15, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Enough time has passed, though.
Yeah.
And I will say this about Cal. Like, people don't like to hear it, but he's just a remarkably and a fiercely loyal guy, you know, to the people that have been there for him, to the people that have played for him. You know, I've told the story before, but, like, Antonio Burks lost his number. And, you know, as one does, like, they just kind of go about their separate ways. But randomly one day on Antonio Burke's birthday, he gets a text message from a number he doesn't recognize saying, happy birthday. He has to ask, who is this? And it's Cal wishing happy birthday to a guy that had not played for him in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the kind of person that he is. I mean, I know we all have our opinions of John Calipari and what he did and what he didn't do. And I'm not sitting here and trying to say that he handled that situation perfectly at the end of it. Although I think most of us probably would have done the same thing. I mean, if you have freaking DeMarcus Cousins, you ain't taking him. You ain't taking John Wall. You ain't taking, you know, all the other dudes that were committed to Memphis. I mean, that's just that's probably part of why you got that job. But I mean, I'm glad that, you know, and I hope and I'm hopeful that he comes back and he gets that ovation, that he gets that,
mm-hmm.
you know, support and love that he deserves. I mean, this dude had Memphis at a level that it was never supposed to be in. Getting Derrick Rose to come here? What? I know Penny's done a good job. Penny did a really good job at times getting national recruits, but
I'd like to see D Rose flying back for it, all the guys.
I agree. Get D Rose back.
What's Tyreek doing? You might as well bring him from 09 too. He doesn't have anything.
Have we
to do
seen
right
him
now.
Since the
I don't feel like we have.
The crack or whatever it was thing that was going on.
I don't feel like we have.
He got banned from the league for doing something illicit.
You said that. I didn't say
I don't
that.
Know if it was crack, but it was one of those banned substances. It wasn't just weed.
Well, let's bring him home and let's rehabilitate him. If that's
or
if he's still down
him.
From your case.
I mean, it just depends on the crew.
Because again, it's never been like that again, and it probably never will.
Yeah.
And so it's we're overdue for this.
100%
healing.
Yeah.
And Dr. Rudd, you're welcome to come on down.
Yeah.
I would love to have
See,
you.
That was what, 2015? 2016? I think it was 2016. We weren't ready for that then. It was only 7 years.
Well, we were ready if it was done correctly, but.
Well, yeah, it was kind of thrust. It was
social media blowback.
Right.
Scared us.
Right, it did. And, you know, again, maybe there was a better way, like you said,
yes,
to present
there,
it.
There was.
Yeah. Memphis and Kentucky were still very much like battling, and for
I wasn't saying, to your point, he was still at that job that he left you for. Exactly. So there are still way more hurt feelings still.
Yes.
Then you're right. Than there are now.
And you were like they beat you for Skull, in the last calendar. And I know we don't care now because he ended up being a bust, but we care.
Is he not back in the league?
He was in the summer league.
Okay.
Does that count as the league?
I thought he was making a comeback.
I don't think so. I think Memphis basketball can be good again. It can be a tournament team again. It could be a second round team again. I feel very confident saying at the age of 34, I have seen the best of it. It will never be 34 straight 31 years with four straight Sweet 16s or better. Like, I just don't think it'll ever be that again.
Hard to do.
I mean, especially today. Like, if someday, like, there was a transformative financial windfall, some billionaire, that's not named Fred Smith, he's already given all of his money to us. I mean, we can't ask for any more. But if there's another one who said, I'm going to die, and I'm going to leave literally every cent to my name to the Memphis basketball, only the Memphis basketball program, then maybe. But only then.
Okay.
I don't think we got one of those. I don't think we got like a true. I mean, because even Bill Lowry's like, it depends on the day, man. I don't know where I'm at with him. Don't know where I stand. But anyway, yes, this is, the exhibition is set October 27th. Tickets go on sale September the 9th. And as we welcome John Calipari back to FedEx Forum against Memphis for the first time ever. He's been back. He's been the tournament,
yes,
but never against Memphis. So it'll be historic.
Lee Corso went out with a bang. Absolutely. Perfect. 6-for-6 on his predictions. The last one was Miami beating Notre Dame 27-24. He put on Brutus. We had talked about it last week. Fox had the big kickoff show they've got, and game day was all there on the same game, even though it's not ESPN.
Yeah.
They were all on top of each other and everything else. Those production crews, what a scene it was out in Columbus. And you saw right before the game out there, basically on the field on their setup, you had Corso putting on Brutus and picking Ohio State. Of course, he was going to pick Ohio State there, but he also hit on, he was one of the lone national analyst. I think the lone guy on that show that picked Florida State over Alabama, because like John said, just about the whole country, including me on the Alabama side, we all thought, okay, look out for DeBoer in the SEC this year. And again, credit to Mike Norvell, Miles Zahn, the offensive coordinator, what they did physically at Alabama. But Lee had picked that one. Tennessee over Syracuse he picked. He also picked LSU's road win over Clemson. Picked Brian Kelly to go down there and win at Clemson. And the other Death Valley, I suppose, that if the Battle of Death Valley, as they tried to make that out to be before the game, is accurate. And then he also got South Carolina beating Virginia Tech. So 6-0. I think every team that he either played for or coached also won, including Navy. And so great thing for Corso. You couldn't have scripted a better ending to it. Like I said, I watched most of it. You had plenty of tributes and everything else, but I thought he was pretty good on the set too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had prepared and worked so hard to be ready for it. He was in a tuxedo for the final appearance, and you couldn't do anything but feel good for the way he was getting to go out there. And again, on a day that it's Fox's game, ESPN says, and ESPN's got other big games that it was broadcasting and could have been at, they decide to go to Columbus, make it pretty much all about him there before the game. And it was wonderful to see him be able to go out like that.
Yeah, people were posting the Corso parlay that paid like plus 9,000.
Very smart, genius.
And it hit.
And think about it.
Now, there were some, some very interesting tweets about it. There's one guy named Jared Smith who used the Lee Corso going 6-0 in his final game day. He said, "Sometimes I question my belief in spirituality and higher powers, but then I witness things like Lee Corso going 5-0 with three outright dogs for his final game day picks, and all six of the teams he played or coached for winning in week one. The universe works in mysterious ways." Now, I don't know if the Lord is orchestrating that. I think the Lord has a lot of things on his plate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think his first priority is Lee Corso going 6-0 in his final game day.
No.
But
the Lord said, "I want his ending to be perfect."
That's right.
In all ways.
That's right.
And that's what happened for Lou.
And that's when you move like that, right? when you fly Southwest, you are chosen by God.
It's sad.
Well, I mean, it's like there's got to be some makeup somewhere, right? I mean, whether it be from your company or...
I guess does he get to get on early? The kids do on Southwest, does he?
I think so.
That's what I kept hearing. Lee Corso fly Southwest all over the weekend.
Well, that's where he was. Okay. I do think this, like, honestly, I think it is the dumbest obsession we have as Americans is how people fly. I think it's just beyond stupid that we care about whether what airline somebody flies, whether they fly coach, whether they fly first class.
Well, I don't want Lee to have to come on late and have to sit in between people. Yeah. He should be able to get on.
No, I agree with that.
They're a little bit different, right?
Yeah.
But they've changed now. I think they're now offering, they have now assigned seats. I've seen the commercials. They're like, joining everyone else.
Like, I just think it's like such a stupid way to like, because like, oh, you fly coach, you know, you mustn't have any money. Like, dude, Mike Miller flies Spirit when he goes to certain places. Like, it's not this, you know, it's some people just, it's whatever happened to point A, point B, bro.
I guess I'm the old school. I'm disappointed that Mike flies Spirit.
Well, it's direct in some places.
Don't consider me a judger.
Well, I mean, again, it's direct. Like, there's some people.
Got to save a buck somewhere. Huh?
Some people don't want to connect. Some people are anti-connection.
Got it.
You know, if you can get a direct, I will not take a connection. You know, and honestly, the more I have to take connections, the more I hate them. Because, you know, especially in this particular calendar year with all the delays and the issues that we're having with, you know, airfare and flights and things like that. So
now, your guy said five. He had six.
Yeah, six.
Okay.
Yeah.
And $100 parlay on his six picks would have netted $10,296.86.
That I should have done it. That's where I should have just bet.
Just why not? Just to throw it. Just been a throwaway
for you. I didn't have the wherewithal. You know, I didn't even think about it. I was so locked in on the one play, the Texas play. You know, I couldn't even bring myself to think about another game.
431 headgear selections in all for the great Lee Corso, 90 years old, making his final ones over the weekend, and picked Ohio State 46 times, the most of any school. So, again, we talk about sort of the perfect ending, the fact that ESPN took it to Columbus so he could pick them over Texas.
Yes.
And what are we talking about here? And then to pick LSU over Dabo, pretty impressive.
Very impressive. No question about that, man. No question.
So, shout out to Lee Corso. And, you know, hopefully he gets a chance to stay around. You know, obviously not in the same role, but, you know, he's not forgotten about. Kirk's still checking on him. Maybe once in a while you fly him into the big one. You know, maybe not, you know, you don't need any more cameos probably. Let him rest.
I
just don't want him to be like Larry on the outside looking in. If he wants to come to a practice or something, you let Lee come to a practice.
Oh, right? I think everybody will let him, for sure.
Yeah.
Because, like, what I worry about with something like this is that the guy dies. Because now he's not doing the game day thing. You know, like, it's like when you're married to somebody for so long, and then it's all you know, and then they die, and then you're like, well, I'll just die too.
I wasn't going to say that. He has he could have many more good years ahead.
But
that doesn't happen.
But, you know, like, when you're he's living for that, bro. He's living for college game. Like, that is the one thing that's keeping him, like, it's keeping him going. It's keeping him, you know, his vitality, his energy, which there's less of, but it's the one constant. And now he's out. Now he's out of the picture. Now he's just an observer in the background.
Well, you're never going to remember him again.
They're
because,
not.
Because Pat McAfee's going to be too busy entertaining you and screaming. I will say.
Not a Pat guy.
I can't even lie. Like, I don't do the show, but the energy he brings now on game day, that you don't need Corso anymore because of what his WWE style, the whole kicking thing that he's got. Are y'all watching this thing where he's giving away the money on the kicks? Dude, it gets them hype. And
yeah,
this
the
kid
kicks
hit,
are fun.
The kid hit the kick
kicks
again.
Are kicks are fun.
And, he's live. He goes WWE style in terms of calling the action, the dogs pooping. That's the fun. That's the entertainment. That's what I'm saying. You don't need – you know, that's what they were saying about Corso through all the tributes is that he would tell Herb Street and all these football – he would tell these guys, what we're doing is entertainment. Well, they have the new form of it. And let me tell you what, McAfee on that show is entertainment. It's good stuff. When he dives into the food – like, even as much as I, you know, the show, okay, that's one thing. But when he's on game day, man, dude, he brings the energy.
Yeah.
And so they don't need, you know, this is the proper time. You have the future right there on the set. That guy, just Saban reacting to him is worth a watch.
No, you know, I mean, again.
McAfee on that show is gold.
Right.
100%. They don't, and we will forget about
Corso. You didn't see the Portnoy
Yeah, I switched over and saw it. He was getting clowned by them folks. And I, the way he stood in there, he said, "These people are so rude." It was funny.
Yeah.
And they were clowning right around him. But yeah. he had a sellout right next to him that they said, did. "Let poor Noy in." So that helped.
The whole thing was a bit, right? The whole.
But he was doing it with the bear. And they were having to talk over, or at least the segment I saw, they were having to talk over the crowd. It was just a crazy setup for him to have to talk over that stuff.
Yeah. No, it was.
With the Ohio State people.
It was. But I did kind of, I mean, it's definitely like borrowing from the Stephen A. But see, that's one thing I would like to do. I would like to cut a promo like that. I just want to do it one time. I don't want to do it every week. I want to cut one promo. And I'll choose the program onto which I'd like to cut it. And it may be more of a basketball game day kind of thing, right? Like it may be a, you know, I might go down to the American Media Day and do it on Tim Pernetti.
Mm.
If you want to see that.
No.
Would you want to tune in for that?
No. But I would like to see maybe a battle of, between, you know, Fox Big Noon kickoff crew and then, you know how they did it, Ron Burgundy, and then see the ESPN crew, you know. Sort of fight and mix it up, like the two news teams.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying?
So who's Fox?
Fox has that main guy, I'm not going to be able to say, but they got Urban Meyer, they got Mark Ingram, they got Matt Leinart, and they got, what's my guy, Brady Quinn? The former Notre.
Okay, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
I can't tell you the name of the
host.
Of the host.
Yeah, okay. And who's ESPN got? Desmond Howard, Kirk Herbstreit, Pat McAfee,
and then usually is it's Reese, right? Not Chris. It's Reese Davis.
Not Chris. Yeah.
I always get him and Chris Fowler. They're kind of the same.
They really are.
It's amazing, and they're both operating, you know, in the same world.
Yeah,
both extremely successful.
Internet,
wasps.
Internet says it's Rob Stone. Is that guy's
Rob
name?
Stone.
I wouldn't have known. I had to look it
again,
up.
Of all the crews, he's probably going to be the one in terms of a name recognition that gets the least in terms of name recognition. Yeah. But to see those crews, and then here's the part. Remember, the Bear has gone over to Fox. He used to be with their team. Yeah.
So a lot of history.
Now they use Stanford Steve to make the picks on game day.
Yes.
That used to be Bear's job. And I just wondered if Bear looks over them with any resentment that he's not with his old crew.
Well, I think Bear is you know, getting paid, right? So he's fine.
He really started an enterprise with those little side picks they used to do.
He did. You know? He did. He certainly did. And Stanford Steve's a really, really nice guy.
Yeah.
Actually, he weirdly joined us for an entire show at Field of 68 last year, so we follow each other.
That's what I'm saying. The ESPN's crew is still superior.
Yeah,
by far.
Yeah.
My point is, yes, you're happy with your bank account and your money, but when you look across, whole thing's about Lee, it's not even their game.
Right.
And
right,
you were on that show. I'm just saying that had to hurt a little bit.
Like, no,
you're on there with Mark Ingram now, bro.
Right, exactly. I think if you want to take it to that part of the discussion, which is like, how much is relevance worth? That's what you have to kind of like decide with yourself is like, am I willing to take, I don't know if it's even more money than he would have gotten.
That's
from
ESPN, what I wanted. Like, was he at a point in his contract where ESPN was like, no, well, if you can get more, go get it. Cause we're not going to give you more.
Sometimes that does happen, you know?
And you wondered if that was the case.
Cause
he was good for them.
Oh yeah, for sure. But you could see a world where the ESPN says, okay, we think your value is limited.
We're about to have to pay Stephen and everybody else over here.
If Fox wants to knock themselves out and bring a name over, I think, but again,
Urban's
less
terrible.
Relevant. I mean, the thing about being at ESPN is that, like, you get the ESPN treatment when you're there. If you're featured, right? Like, you get on SportsCenter, you get interviews by Van Pelt, like, you'll get promo.
Yes.
And I think on Fox, like, it kind of is like a bear taking a dump in the woods.
That's a good call. I see what you're saying. It doesn't reverberate. There is no show to put it on. And
it's
no
just like
Center
you're just. Like you're talking to the ether a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's like during the kickoff because people are watching for that game. That's the only time.
Even this week, I mean, ESPN's pulling the attention off of you, even though you have the game because they got the Corso.
Exactly. So I think that there is a point though where you say I don't care how relevant I am. I don't know what the figure is.
Millions.
Could be.
Fox probably paid a cool million.
I'll sit in a cell block and talk to myself for 7 hours a day. If you pay me $3 million a year. You know, I don't need anybody here.
Well, you got to make better picks than Arch. You know, you got to be like the Bear. You got to have some winners.
Yeah, that was truly a god awful weekend. I don't ever want to even look at them.
And we all went down on Alabama, and I'm assuming the Bear did too. So.
Went down on Alabama. It was actually truly impressive how bad I was this weekend. Went down on Notre Dame. went down on South Carolina over. I mean, I just went down on. I'm like the Malaysian Airlines flight, bro. You can't even find my money.
Stick to Eurobasket. That's what you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
Germany all the way. It's the surest thing.
They beat Great Britain by 63.
You identified them several years ago when those young men were coming up through the developmental program. You said, this is a team 5 years from now, I'm going to put the house on.
I mean, I did.
And these, all they do is win.
And guess what? Guess what, bro? Since then, they've added Tristan Da Silva. They're even sicker.
Good grief.
They're even nastier than they were back then.
Dude, you on international basketball lock.
Dude, Tristan Da Silva is going to be a damn good NBA player if he gets the right fit. I'd love him with the Grizzlies. He's just a great player. I don't know. And he's behind Paolo in Orlando. I was kind of pissed he wasn't part of that Bane deal. They don't use him. You know, he's behind Franz. He's behind Paolo. Why wouldn't you give him up? I mean, you're going to have to give him up someday anyway. Why not right now? Because I tell you what, we wouldn't be having this damn stupid conversation about who's going to start the win. Man, this man would win the ish out of that job, Tristan Da Silva. I'm telling you, man, he got it all. He's high basketball IQ, shoots the piss out of the ball, big 6'8", 6'9", type dude. I'm serious.
I don't give a hot damn about languages. Tristan Da Silva on this day, on September 2nd, 2025. You talk that stuff up before one of their games.
Look, don't every Grizzlies fan do this? Like they put out these weird trade target. Like that's mine. You know, it's better than acting like every single person that plays here is going to actually contribute.
This is as random as Heard going on that Bradley Beal rant that time.
Who got married over the weekend? By the way,
shout out to get a round of applause for Bradley Beal.
And there was a Grizzly. Random. There was a Grizzly in the wedding. Did you know that?
No.
Kentavious Caldwell Pope was in the wedding. He had this whole TikTok. He had this, you got like Casey and JoJo, oh my life. Had that playing with but it was the strings version though. It was very, very elegant, I have to say. You know, you got Bradley Beal in a nice suited and booted. And then every person in his wedding party comes up and it's like, it's these two fat guys, like, who are these guys? They do these little handshake, right? Mm-hmm. And then after the fat guy's like, oh my God, that's Jason Tatum. What the hell? Jason Tatum just comes out of nowhere. And then behind him, it's like Garrett Temple. And then behind him, it's Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Like, Quinn Cook. Where's John Wall? Like, it was just like a random assortment of former NBA players or current NBA players. But yeah, Bradley Beal got married. And I think, yes, the Grizzlies need to go get Tristan Da Silva.
Clearly.
That's just my stance on the matter. And
shout out to Jaren, too, for being at the Memphis football game.
Man, shout out,
bro. Shot in the Grizzlies and being somewhere.
Embrace it.
Support Memphis football. Lee Corso, 6-0.
One more. NFL action coming to you. 2 days. See, this is Tuesday, all right? It's not Monday, so it's a short week here. So we got NFL action coming to you on – is that like an alert? I like it.
It said NFL theme. I was going to try to give some theme for this, but old one.
Yeah, that I don't know if I've ever heard that one.
That's like the old ESPN. Let me try the Thursday night one. Maybe.
That sounds like a 30 for 30.
Is this better? This is better vibes. Yes. Sorry, yes. It's NFL theme.
No, not a problem at all.
Want to theme it out. It's a big week, y'all.
At the end of the day, I tell people all the time, don't worry about it. It's gated.
All I need to know, it is gated. All I need to know is that I'm picking somebody at first in the NFL draft that we're doing on Wednesday.
Is that tomorrow? I'm glad. Yeah.
Tomorrow night is.
I think I'm gonna let the kid pick the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jake will have to help me out.
Okay. I like it. I'll let Riley. I mean, we just really go chaos. Yeah. I just let Riley pick. You know, I'll throw three different names at her. She can just pick my team. Mm-hmm. That way, I can blame my child if it sucks, and it probably will. Yeah. But we got NFL action on Thursday.
Jamar Chase will be number one,
and we also have NFL action on Friday before Sunday. A lot of people say you got to wait till Sunday, waiting all day till. No, you ain't got to worry about that now because we got Thursday night kickoff with Dak Prescott and the Cowboys taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. No Micah Parsons in that one, as you know. And then on Friday, we're going to go all the way down to Brazil, which is where, of course, Tristan Da Silva has heritage. And we're going to have the Chiefs taking on the Chargers there. Mm. What is that, in Sao Paulo?
Yes, Sao Paulo.
When you heading down, man? This is a big one.
I'm not. Why would I head down for an AFC West matchup?
It's
my team's the Bears.
It's Patrick Mahomes.
You head down. You seem to be holding this one up above all the rest of the games this weekend.
I love Friday night games. I don't know why.
I think you've already placed your bet, is my guess.
I have no bet in the game.
Oh, interesting.
I have no bet in the game.
You surprised me.
I only have one bet on the weekend, which is on Sunday. It's the Jags -3. You should just fade me. I'm the easiest fade in the world right now.
Better.
But yeah, it's kicking off on Thursday and Friday, and then of course we have the full slate on Sunday. So, I mean, this is it, man. I know we've been waiting many months to get here, but it's here.
You see Schefter talking about Micah might need an epidural?
I did see
that. Oh,
wow.
What do we think of that, if that's the case?
It's a little scary.
Schefter doesn't just usually throw stuff out there either. I wondered, was this – obviously, it's possible he might need it. Many people had downplayed the back issue and said, well, he'd be fine once he's got the money. This is just about, you know, being able to do a hold-in and being around the guys. But if you're talking about epidurals, that's not a good thing for Green Bay that just put, you know, all that guaranteed money into the man at 26 years old. If you're a Green Bay fan, my guess is you are still cautiously optimistic that this is a minor deal.
Agreed.
I don't like epidurals on 26-year-olds.
But I don't think it shouldn't make you feel like he's necessarily equipped to go the whole year. I mean, it'll make me feel like, oh, well, he's ready to go.
I would just not play him, right?
Right.
A loss to the Lions in week one is not going to determine your season.
That is very true.
It's not going to say you got 16 more of these.
Yeah.
So if he's not ready to go, and you can understand, and the other part about that is how much of our defense have you been able to grasp? You know, either you're on a real small, a limited pitch count, or you're not playing whatsoever. That's what I do because I got too much invested in this dude to unleash him week one trying to get some get back.
Yep.
I'd rather have him versus Dallas in week four and have him healthy. Hell, I'll sit him out for a while.
Yep.
I don't need to.
I don't know what the medical is on that. Like, will it help? Will it not? If it's just a freak thing or not. But, yes, it's not what you want to hear, I think, if you're maybe if you're a Dallas fan, you're like, I know you saw what Dak said. He said both parties are happy that this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Both parties ready to move on.
Well, you know, he didn't put Dak in his quarterback list or whatever, so there's been some, you know, some feelings, some old feelings probably that have come back out. Best game is obviously Sunday night, right? Ravens Bills?
Yeah.
Bills 1.5-point favorite.
Oh, wow. That's really
now, that was as of this morning. That was an ESPN bet. I'm imagining it's right. You know, it's right around there.
It's been a pick everywhere else. I didn't check this morning, so it must have moved in the last 24 hours.
As of this morning's research, Bills 1.5. Mm-hmm. But that is a monster right off the bat on Sunday night.
Is that in
night.
Buffalo?
That is in Buffalo, sir.
Very interesting.
I just kind of wonder.
Like, is that a? I mean, honestly, I wonder if that's a little bit Chiefsian in that, you know, the Ravens win the regular season game, but they can't beat the Bills in the playoffs type of thing. That's what I just wonder about. I just would be very tempted to take Baltimore in that game. Isn't Baltimore, like, better? I mean, I know they're maybe not.
Isn't that what the Bills being at home but only being 1.5-point favorite suggests, that Baltimore is better?
That it's
since they're only getting a point, and, you know.
Basically what it's saying is that they're they're a dead even team.
Okay. I need to adjust. So in NFL it's 1.5 on that, not
1.5 to 2. Yeah, it's definitely not 3 anymore. I mean, Buffalo, I could give you 2 in Buffalo. So what they're basically saying is that the Ravens might be half a point better on a neutral. Buffalo would probably be one of those teams where, you know, in September maybe not as much because it's still decent weather. But you could see, like, in December where the home field advantage for Buffalo goes way up because the temperature and the snow and the elements and stuff like that. Right now it's probably, like, 1.5. So basically the odds makers are saying these are two dead even teams that are neutral. If this was a, you know, Super Bowl, which they couldn't have, but if it was, it'd be a pick.
What if I was buying take the Lions and the points if I was selling you that – Packers might not have Micah.
Yeah.
You gave away a 3-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle that helped you stop the run.
Yeah.
Lions, the whole offseason story has been going to take a step back because of the loss of coordinators. What if I was selling you on, John, take the Lions and the points because Packers may not start out fast?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, honestly, you probably can't go wrong.
Is that sharp or square?
I don't think it's square. I don't think that's square at all because I think the square side was just to take the Packers.
Take Green Bay. That's what I thought.
Yeah,
okay,
because
I'm just
like, oh, they got Micah. They got their
At home.
Yeah, like the Lions, like you said, they have to replace both coordinators. You know,
but Green Bay's chest sat a little more because, like they said, their organization has told them with this Micah deal, your time is now.
Agreed.
It is time for you to make a Super Bowl.
Agreed.
So they're going in pumped up, jacked up, even without Micah if he's not on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I think like
Dan Campbell's speech is easy in that one.
That's
what I'm pointing to.
That's been the theme of the weekend, right? It's been these disrespected feeling teams and coaches who can sort of get and convey that message.
Been touching on it the whole show.
And he's one of the best at it, probably. Yeah, it seems like a Lions win, really, outright.
And I'm giving you points.
And, how many I'm getting? 1.5?
It was 2.5 this morning.
2.5.
And where it is, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not that that.
I'm just trying to help you bounce back, you know. Just,
I
just some opportunity. We're just looking around. I'm no Dr. Fang.
Yeah.
Let me tell you that right now.
Well, there's only one, right?
That's right.
There's only one Dr. Fang, and he's going to join us once a month is what he committed to because he's got, you know, algorithms to develop.
Well, it's like, you know, remember the question mark, the box on the Mario? And he's going to let us hit that thing and get all those coins out of there. We can't do it.
That's right. Yeah,
you know, weekly.
That's right.
We're going to hit the box. You get it once monthly.
I mean, look.
You know, how many coins you want.
Exactly. Once monthly. It's kind of like I kind of view it as like a stock report segment. You know, like, let's talk about where teams are at. You know, their power ratings. That's what he does. He's a power ranking guy. So, you know, into September, we'll go through college football, NFL, like, where is this team? Where is this team? They up, they down. That's going to be the game we play. Anyway, NFL week one kicks off on Thursday.
Hold on. Let me take a deep
breath. Buckle up.
Thank you.
And,
I'm so ready.
We lost Greg Olsen. I guess that was last year.
Not last year. He got demoted.
But he's not back. I mean, he needs to get back. He's on Madden. He's the voice of Madden now. I guess he's bounced back.
Proper
in some
respect.
Way. Yeah. But
for Tom, he doesn't even have to do the work. I feel terrible for Greg.
No, he's just
then Burkhardt just brothers him up as if Greg hadn't developed a relationship with Kevin.
Yeah,
and worked at it to be the A team, to be the one team. Tom comes in here, you give him all your money, $37 million,
yep.
And now Burkhardt's acting like they've been working together for 13 years.
You know what that is?
Forgot about me.
That's such a life lesson, bro.
It is. It really is.
And the life lesson is this: sometimes you're Greg Olsen. And sometimes you're Tom Brady. And that's the difference, right?
Think about that.
Let me reframe it in
okay.
a better way.
Well, hold on. We're going to rephrase.
In this world, there are Greg Olsons and there are Tom Brady's, right?
What are you?
What are
I'm
you?
Kevin Burkhardt.
What are you?
You just forget about him and move to the next one. That's what you're saying, Brett.
Greg Olson is a great NFL broadcaster.
Bro, he was the A-team.
Great NFL broadcaster. I loved him on the call. He taught. He was cool.
Still is.
Fun to listen to.
B-team now, though.
But he ain't Tom
He's great.
Brady.
I think he's better.
That's the point.
That's the point.
The point is that he
works
he's
harder.
Definitely better.
Be better.
But he's not being recognized and rewarded as being better because he's not what?
It'll come around.
He's not Tom Brady.
I'm any commercials about Greg Olsen. Did you see one about Tom Brady and his football knowledge and the guys looking out? Fox is just pushing Tom Brady. He's on your porch. He's on your, you know. It never did this for Greg.
And Brad, to your point, it will come around. But it will only come around when Tom Brady allows it to come around. In this world, you are either a Greg Olsen or you are a Tom Brady.
Tom didn't even have to do the production meetings last year and gets $37 million. What's Greg think about that? I would resent it.
You have to resent it.
But all he does is keep working.
Because he's Greg Olsen, bro.
It's
he's not Tom Brady.
You know what? It's still a good life to be Greg Olsen.
It is.
He's covering NFL on the B team.
That's not me saying that it's a bad thing to be Greg Olsen at all. But it ain't Tom Brady. It ain't being Tom Brady.
There's always somebody that won 7 Super Bowls above you.
That's right. That has to do less work to be in the place they're in.
There's always that Tom.
That's better looking than you, that's more charming than you, that has more advantages than you.
More hair.
More hair.
More problems.
More women. More everything. More, you know, and it's just like, you know.
You can't focus on that. Run your own race. Would be my advice.
That's just tough.
And Greg's
like,
been running his own race the whole time.
That's just loser talk, though.
He doesn't have a picture of Tom up on his mirror balling up like Rocky did with Rocky.
I know, he doesn't.
He doesn't.
No, he made
you
a
can
lot of
tell
money
that,
in his life.
Yes, he's made a lot of money. That dude looks, he looks like he's got joy.
But
he has a podcast company called Youth, and it's outrageously successful.
But you don't have to say run your own race when you're Tom Brady. You just say, I'm fucking Tom Brady, man. Like, no.
Well, he won 7, dude. It's not like he did nothing.
Right.
Got improperly crowned or anything. Yeah. He won 7.
There's, you know, I mean, it's just, it's a tough life lesson for us all, but we eventually have to learn it.
Who does Tom walk into the room and get humbled by is the question.
Nobody, bro. There's nobody in the world that could humble Tom Brady. Not a single soul. Not the Pope.
Trump says you better kiss my hand.
Maybe the President of the United States. Mm-hmm. Possibly. Although in his current state, which has he been seen since last week?
World's ganging up.
I think we got to figure that out. I think that is very important to this question. Which Trump is he meeting? I think this one would not be able to humble him, I got to tell you. But like 2016, oh yeah, everybody's been in the need of 2016 Trump, man.
I'll tell you who it is. It's MJ. That's who Tom has to back down for.
He got more than MJ, though. He got more.
Is it more?
He got more. 7. MJ got 6.
It's just another ring.
It's just another ring, but it's one more ring.
It's not Jumpman logo.
I mean, that's fair. That is definitely
fair. I'm talking about.
The cultural shift definitely belongs to Jordan in that regard.
Yes.
I mean, I think
yes,
it would
in
be,
the end.
I think it would definitely be the most reverence he would possibly ever show somebody would be Jordan, right? Like on
yes.
athletically.
Yes.
Maybe Tiger even. You know, like, because Tiger had that cultural wave, too, and he probably was coming up as an athlete during that time, too.
Because that's one thing about Tom. He wasn't a great athlete.
No, he was
that
not.
That Mike was.
No.
Yes, you got your 7, but you ain't close to the athlete that man
he
was.
He didn't even have a
6.
Brand until he retired, like a clothing brand.
TB12.
Yeah, he didn't even have that until he's at the end of his career. Yeah. People didn't want to be Tom Brady.
I just want to make sure there was still someone for Tom to look up to.
But, I mean, now you're talking about an audience of 1, maybe 2, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Olsen got a – who's he working with, man? Who's the B team, man?
I don't know. Gus? I don't know who it is.
Oh, Gus.
I think Gus is CBS or something. I can't keep up anymore. These guys all moved around.
They do. They move around quite a bit. Anyway.
An hour-long
Greg
rundown.
Olsen,
good job.
They're still – like – you're still a good person. You still contribute positively to society, but you just ain't Tom Brady.
We respect you, Greg. Know that from J&J.
We love you,
Greg Olsen.
But you ain't Tom Brady.
You don't need to keep putting him in his place. Let him have his peace.
We'll come back. Last word to cover on the show. Drew Hill's going to join us at 1:25. And I think what we would say to Drew is that his coach ain't Nick Saban.